Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here. We'd like to take the opportunity to welcome everyone today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, and I pray that the goodness of God has touched your heart, poured oil and wine into your spirit, edified and comforted you today. I said some weeks ago, we did a series on the year 2023. And we talked about things that we felt were going to take place. And it is evident with all the financial anomalies and aberrations, things are moving swiftly and they're moving in the wrong direction. But I am a firm believer in prayer. And I believe that prayer can change everything. Sometimes we have to fast along with our praying. Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting." He was dealing with a demon-possessed young man, child, you might say. Threw him in the fire. That's where we get the word lunatic, lunar. And the disciples were unable to have authority over this demonic entity. And they said, we could not cast him out. Why were we unable to do this, Lord? And thus his response there in Matthew 17:21, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting," which tells me some things will never happen, will never transpire, will never take place until we fast and pray. A dear brother, Brother Dan, the truck driver, mentioned some weeks ago as well, he began to fast and began to receive greater power in his life to crucify his flesh and to lay aside things that were impeding, encroaching his walk with Christ. Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." But the Apostle Paul said, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh." When you do that, you are crucifying your affections and your cravings, your lust for things you don't need or should not even have or possess. We've got to get back to intercessory prayer. We too long have had courtesy prayer where we just say for just a minute or two, "God, I thank you, I bless your name," whatever, and we move on so quickly. We're going to have to pray because the coming days are going to demand it. The world is going to become more unstable by the minute. By the minute, the world is going to become unstable. America's enemies, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, they want our demise. They want our destruction. They want our power to be totally negated and nullified in every sense of the word. And the truth is, America has become very, very, very evil. You can say all you want to that America's good. That's just not true. We are a wicked nation, and to whom much is given, much is required. And I know a lot of Christians are suffering. A lot of Christians are laboring. A lot of Christians are toiling. Your life seems very gloomy and full of despair. But if you will magnify the Lord, He will help you. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you if you will simply look to Him. Psalms 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You trust in God, you will get encouragement. You will absolutely get strength for the coming days. You will have what you need to overcome the enemy. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. There is a blessing in trusting God. There is a blessing in trusting God. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. There is a blessing in trusting the Lord for everything in your life right now. God, I believe, expects us to do our part, and He will make up the difference. That young lad that brought the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes, he brought that. That's all they had. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread will not feed this crowd. But you see, little is much when God is in it. And so Jesus blessed the bread. He blessed the fish. They fed 5,000 men plus women and children. So somewhere between, I would assume, 15 and 20,000 people were fed by the hand of God. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments, only 12 baskets of bread. I was reading that some time ago, and the many times I had read it, I never realized that they didn't gather up any fish. One of the Gospels may say something different, but as I was reading that, it just talked about gathering up the bread, because the bread typifies Christ, and it cannot be wasted. John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. God demands that we pray. So many people today in America profess Christianity. I don't know what kind of Christianity they have, because the Christianity that they profess does not exalt, magnify, or exude Jesus, the Lord's Christ. It just isn't there. I hear it all the time. People say, I'm a Christian. The next thing you know, they're cursing like a sailor. These things ought not be. Christians lie. Christians cheat. I'm saying professing Christians. Nancy Pelosi says she prayed every day for Donald Trump, but she would do anything she could to destroy him. These people are deceived. Oh, they say they pray, but it is not in the power and in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't exist. They have their own religion. They set the boundaries. They set the guidelines. They set the parameters. They do it, not God. And this is why America, if you listen closely, you can hear the death rattle in the throat of America. If you listen closely, if you listen through the Holy Spirit of God, you can see that America has the death rattle in her throat. And we're in the throes of death and of destruction. God does not want that. God does not will that. That is not what God wants for America. No parent wants destruction for their children. No parent. But because of sin and because of the righteousness of God Almighty, he has to do that which is right. He has to do that which is right. He can do no less. If he did, he's not a righteous God. He's an unrighteous God, but that cannot be because God is immutable. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was in prayer the other morning, and it was almost as though it was an audible voice. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was as though it were in my spirit. And it was dealing with Genesis 18, 24 and 25. And Abraham is negotiating with Elohim, actually Jesus Christ incarnate, those three angels that came, one of them was Jesus. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will that also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? I remember sharing that phrase, not spare the place. I shared that with Henry Groover. He said, can I use that? I said, it's the word of God, Henry. It's not mine. I just happened to see what it was saying. Abraham was not interceding for the whole city at this point. It's the 50 righteous in a place. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Meaning a little conclave, a little nook, a little cranny, a little faction of people huddled up in a corner somewhere pleading with God. Will you spare that little place? And then in verse 25, Genesis 18, 25, Abraham said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God can only do that which is right. Abraham said, it's not like you, Lord, to do after that manner, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And here was God's rebuttal, reply to Abraham in verse 26, Genesis 18 and 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. So Abraham is asking if there's 50 righteous in a nook, a cranny, a conclave, maybe a small parish. Will you save the 50 and that little parish of believers? But God says, I will spare all the place for their sakes. If there's that many there, Abraham, I'll spare both Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. Well, we all know they weren't there. They did not exist. Abraham gets down to 10. And God in his magnanimous grace and mercy says, Abraham, if there's 10 righteous, I'll spare the place. They couldn't be found. I believe in America there are more than 50 righteous. I believe there are vast numbers of redeemed. And I believe no matter how vehemently God judges America, he'll take care of the righteous. Because it is not the character of God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's not God's character. That's not who God is. God is a Savior. He is a Redeemer. He's not a murderer. He's not a killer. He's a Redeemer, redeeming the souls of men. It'll be the devil, his minions, that kill, steal, and destroy. They'll seek to hurt the redeemed. But anything that's covered in the blood of the Lamb will not suffer the righteous judgment and wrath of God Almighty. That's not the kind of God that we serve. God is absolutely just in everything that he does. You can rest assuredly today that God is faithful. God won't hurt you. God will help you. He will strengthen you. He will enable you. He will empower you. He'll give you light to light your life. He will give you the bread of life for sustenance. He'll give you spiritual water to quench your thirst. John 7:38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe. I know many of you believe. Some of you have toiled. Your path has been rocky. The journey has been wearisome. Seems like the nights have been so long, and the days of brightness and light have been so short. God, he cares more about you than you will ever know. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Master is drawing you to him today. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 6:37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You can come. He'll not kick you to the side. He'll not cast you out. He'll not cut you off. But his holy hand is stretched out to whosoever will come and drink of the fountain of life, which is Christ our Lord. I want to take a moment today to pray for you, that the Holy Spirit of God would touch your heart, touch your mind, that he would bring comfort, he would bring solace into your spirit. Psalms 119:50 says, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. God's word quickens your spirit. I said his word quickens your spirit. His word lives. His word is alive. His word ministers. His word comforts. His word illuminates your path. Oh, so many times have so many believers, saints of God, found comfort in the Word of God. Looking for one word, just a phrase, a small passage, a little statement from the Word of God that changes people's lives. That is the power of the Word of the Lord. You know, I often think about who I was when I was in sin, estranged, away from God, living a very reckless, vile, sinful, salacious, evil life. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein with his great love, he loved me, he kept me, he watched over me. He didn't need to do that. I wasn't deserving of that. But yet in his immeasurable volumes of mercy and grace, he didn't let me die in my sins. And that, my friend, is so powerful and so precious to me today. I think many times, Lord, you could have left me in sin, and I died in sin, in an automobile accident, fighting, carrying on, but you were merciful. God has been so merciful to every one of you listening right now. Look around. Had it not been the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be standing today. But the Lord was on your side in spite of your evilness and your wickedness and your sinfulness and your debasedness. He didn't cut you off. In my human, finite mind, I know he should have cut me off. But he was merciful. Long-suffering. Long-suffered. He suffered me long. And I didn't deserve it. But he gave it because of his love. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray for the young, the infants, the adolescents, the middle-aged and the old, Lord, I pray for everyone today. God, touch us. Touch us with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Pour the oil and pour the wine, the healing balm from Gilead. Pour it into every heart and every soul, I pray this day. Let no one walk away from the table of grace today empty. But Lord, allow every man, woman, boy, and girl to walk away from the table of grace today edified, strengthened, renewed in their mind, their heart, and their spirit, and grant immeasurable grace and mercy and love. Thank you, Lord, for commending your love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Jesus took our sins. And Lord, I thank you today you didn't leave us to our own devices. You didn't leave us to our evil ways. that would have brought decay and rot and putrefying sores spiritually in our lives. But you were long-suffering and merciful. Lord, I thank you today for your word that is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I thank you that I can go to your word and I can find encouragement. I can find strength. I can find spiritual nourishment for my soul. I pray for everyone listening today, Lord. Holy Spirit, soothe the tempest, calm the storm in the lives of those that are perplexed right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree peace be still. I pray peace, calm, a spirit of placidity to fall upon every mind under the sound of my voice. Oh, how true when David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We don't have to beg. We're heirs and joint heirs through your Son, Jesus Christ, the price he paid on the cross to redeem us from our iniquities. What a revelation that John the Baptist had when he cried, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You don't just cover sin, Lord, but through your grace and your mercy, you take the sin away. And for that, Lord, we are ever thankful for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I thank you today for the opportunity to pray. I thank you for this privilege that we can come to the throne of grace to find help in the day of trouble. I pray for America. She is so sullied and so soiled. She doesn't realize how far she has fallen and how anemic and weak she has become. I know you will better days for us. But I know unless we repent, we'll not see those days of goodness. But if we will repent of our sins, you're a God of restoration, a God of redemption, a God that makes whole that which has become lame. Now, Lord, I pray for everyone listening right now. Holy Ghost, nudge them. Move them. Drive them to the foot of the cross, where we first received our sight, that we might again receive fresh sight, fresh eye salve, that we can see clearly, see through the lens of your word and the lens of the Holy Ghost of God. Help us to see in that manner, Lord. Help us. The psalmist said in Psalms 108, verse 12, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Lord, man's help is anemic. Man's help is weak. We all need your help, Lord. You are the true, genuine hand of help. God, help us. I know that you're mindful of us. And Lord, those who pray, who commune, who fellowship with you, Lord. Edify them even now. Consume the cares. Consume the troubles. Consume the adversity with your holy presence, Lord. Just consume it. Melt it like wax. Like nylon and a fiery heat, Lord. Melt it that it is no more. I thank you today for all your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your great grace, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, I thank you now for that which you're going to do for us. How you're going to help us. How you're going to strengthen us. I thank you for that. I thank you for supplying and meeting every need before the need has even been manifest. I thank you for meeting the need even now. God, touch the voice of evangelism to reach tens of thousands of souls. God, help us to be a harvester, to go into the fields, for you said they're white. They're ready to harvest, you said, but the laborers are few. Lord, you said, pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. God, send them forth. Send them forth, Lord, even now. God, bring about a great revival in this nation before it's too late. Lord, once judgment begins, there'll be those who will go out into eternity. They will have forsaken all the opportunities of redemption and reconciliation and forgiveness, Lord. But Father, I pray today through your mighty hand, you'll extend mercy and grace to every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray for the leadership of our nation. Lord, we know we don't have good leadership, but you can make a wicked man righteous. You can redeem a sinful man and make him a vessel of honor. That's what you do. You take fallen men and women, and you create within us clean hands and a pure heart and a right spirit. You help us to get on the right path. God, help tens of thousands to get on the right path quickly, quickly, Lord. I pray the Holy Ghost to smite people all over this nation. Smite their hearts, Lord. Smite their hearts. No matter where they are, the Holy Ghost can pervade and permeate and break in and change them, Lord. While they're at the bank, they're at Walmart, they're at the grocery store, you can do that because you have the power to do anything, Lord. God, help us. Lord, just don't forget us. Don't forget us, Lord. I know we're worthy to be forgotten, but like Samson, remember us. Like Hannah, remember me. Just like the thief on the cross, he said, remember me. God, remember us. God, remember us. We're but flesh. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft have we grieved your spirit and tempted you, Lord? Remember. were but flesh, the wind that passeth away and cometh not again. I pray for every family, every home, every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray for every marriage, those who are troubled, bring healing into their hearts. Bring forgiveness into their hearts. Bring reconciliation into their hearts. God, help us. Lord, I know the coming days are going to humble everyone. But I want to be humble, Lord, before those days even get here. For David said in Psalms 9 and 12, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Thank you that you don't forget those who are full of meekness and humility, brokenness and contrition. Touch us, Lord. Father, I thank you for this time of prayer. You're the one that gave us time. You give us time every day. I thank you for this measured parenthetical time to have prayed, to talk to you, to get an audience with God Almighty. And you hear us as though we're the only one praying. You hear us as though no one else is praying, Lord. That's how attentive your ears art of prayer. You single out every word. You single out every heart. You single out every mind. You know the mind of everyone, Lord, and you hear them distinctly and separately because you're a God that loves us all so powerfully and so much. And I'm so thankful for that today, Lord. Remember us. Remember us. Remember our humanity. As Paul said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But we were made in your image and in your likeness. We're flawed because of sin. We are terribly flawed and marred by evil. But I thank God one day when this mortal will put on immortality and this corruption will put on incorruption. Then we'll say, O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? You have none over these saints of God. God bless us. Help us. Nurture us, Lord. Pour the oil and the wine and send thy word and heal us, Lord. And deliver us from the enemy's destruction. Lord, grant peace. Peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Like still waters that run so deep, so deep. David said, lead me beside the still waters and restore my soul. God, I thank you that you're a God of restoration. God, you restore us. I thank you for restoration. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. You're a good God. Not willing that any man, woman, boy, or girl should perish, but that all might have life and have it more abundantly. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us of our iniquities. Forgive our trespasses, Lord. And help us all to forgive one another. There's not one listening today that hasn't been wronged in some capacity, some measure, because of our humanity. We've all been hurt. We've all been injured. We've all been smitten and stricken, Lord, because of iniquity. But God, you always make up the difference. You are a difference maker. And for that, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. I thank you for victory. I thank you for the healing virtue and power that has gone out today to touch the bodies of the saints of God. I thank you for your convicting power and presence to deal with sinners and even deal with the righteous when our hearts are not right. Now touch us with fresh oil, Lord. I'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. What is in the beloved name of your Son, Jesus, the Lord's Christ, Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, Father, for giving your only begotten Son, and he willingly laid down his life to save us from our sins. I ask all of these things today in the name of your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, who bore our iniquities. You laid upon your Son the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world were laid on you. Thank you for enduring it. Thank you for not coming down off the cross and saving yourself. But I thank you for saving us. You told those around the cross that day, don't you know that I could pray to my Father and he'd give me more than 12 legion of angels. But your love was so vast. Your mercy was so great. You chose to stay on the cross and die for our sins. Touch us, Lord. Touch us with a fresh oil and with a fresh anointing that we might expound, teach, preach, decree, declare your word in the coming days. God, touch all of us. Bind us together, make us one, even as you and the Father are one. I know that's hard, but I pray you'll grant that, Lord. Thank you for every good, every perfect gift that you've ever bestowed upon all of us. Lord, because in you there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. There's no orbit, no orbit in you, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you. Thank you for this time, and thank you for this privilege to pray. I certainly do not know what tomorrow may bring forth, but I certainly know who holds tomorrow. Thank you that you're never changing, but you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, in closing, touch the ministry. Touch us with fresh oil. Fresh oil. And anoint us with the Holy Ghost and with power, that we might accomplish that which you have ordained from the foundations of the world. And I ask all of these things today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Friends, don't take prayer for granted. David said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cries. God's ears are always open. His eyes are always upon those who will call upon his holy name. Don't forget God, because God hasn't forgotten you. He loves you. He cares for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Know that he is faithful. David said, I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He's never let us down. I would to God we could say that. We've never let him down. Everyone, somewhere, sometime in their lives, have let the devil question them. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? It'll be worth it, I promise you. Every restless, sleepless night, every rocky road and every rocky path, and every thorny bush that has sought to stick you, God has been faithful. In closing, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20:22. He said, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bond and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the grace of the gospel of God. It's time to live and walk bound in the Holy Ghost. Think of that. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. He said, the Holy Ghost, says Paul, bond and afflictions abide you. They await you when you get to the next city. But Paul said, none of these things move me, and neither do I count my life dear unto myself. You see, Paul was crucified, so he didn't value his life more than he should have. Sometimes we put too much value on who we think we are. At the end of the day, we're just a pile of dust, a pile of dirt. But Jesus loves that pile of dirt, that pile of dust. Christ loves us and cares so much for us. Don't ever think he doesn't love you. His love is eternal. He said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, an unending love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Aren't you glad Jesus drew you to him through his vast, gracious love, the love of God? Thank God for his love. Thank God for his immeasurable grace that he's given to each of us. I'm so thankful that God loved me and my rebellion and my sin. I deserve to be cut off. He suffered a little longer. He's been good to you. You need to be good in return. You need to reciprocate. You need to be mindful. You need to be thankful. You ought to thank God more than what you do. I know some of you say, well, I don't have a whole lot to thank God for. Oh, you have so much to thank him for. If you truly get into his presence, you'll understand why you should be thankful. It's when we're not in his presence that we forget his goodness, that we forget all the good things he has done for us. But when you get into his presence, when you get into the presence of the Lord, his presence makes you sober, makes you vigilant, diligent. It makes you aware of just what he's done for you. I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God has unctionized your heart and your mind and your spirit, that God has ministered to you, that the Holy Ghost of God has poured a measure of oil and wine into your heart and life. Be thankful and bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth thee all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, he is so good. He's been so good to every one of us. We're so far behind in thanking him and magnifying and glorifying his holy name. We're so far behind. If all you did from now until the time you pass away was thank God, you'd still be behind and thanking him for his goodness. That's one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, that men would be unthankful. Men would be unthankful. So many today are unthankful. So many today do not value, neither appreciate what God has done for them. God has done more for you than anyone else. He's been so kind, so gracious. Oh, we've all had battles. Don't magnify the battle. Magnify the Lord. Don't magnify the discouragement or the despair or the persecution, the opposition, or the trial. No, magnify the Lord. Thus, Psalms 34:3, David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Corporately, let us exalt his name together. Let us all be thankful. I don't believe we really have any idea to the many times God has intervened. God has come along beside and give comfort and give an aid. And we did not even recognize it. But the presence of the Lord was there to help, to minister, to encourage, to shoulder, to lift you up, and to help you. Please pray. Read your Bible. I'll be back here tomorrow. We'll pick up rediscovering the Word of God from 2 Kings 23, verse 8. I pray the Word of the Lord always challenges you and always comforts you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. Pray like Jabez that God will enlarge our coast, that he'll open up more doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great evening. God willing, I'll be back here tomorrow, and we'll share again from the Word of Almighty God.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.